Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Manachari. Jamuna Tira Manachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada.
Jai Vishnupa, Karmanza, Karakatara, Sattara, Sattara, Sushiman, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava, Vrinda, Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridasa Thakur, Ki Jai. Rain say Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai Shri Mati Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samveda Bhakti Vinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 60, Krishna Teases Rukmini, text number 38.
Tamvai samasta purushartha maya phalatma. Yadvanchaya sumatayo visrijanti kritsnam. Desham vibho samuchito bhavata samaja. Pumsa striyash charatayo sukadukhinorna. Tvam vai samasta purushartha maya phalatma. Yadvanchaya sumatayo visrijanti kritsnam. Tesham vibho samuchito bhavata samaja. Pumsa striyascha ratayo sukadukhinorna. Tvam vai samasta purushartha maya phalatma. Yadvanchaya sumatayo visrijanti kritsnam. Tesham vibho samuchito bhavata samaja. Pumsa striyascha ratayo sukadukhinorna. Ladies.
Thank you.
samuchito bhavata samaja. Om sa sriya sharatayo sukha dukhi norma.
What's the word?
Twam.
You.
Vai.
Indeed.
Samasta.
All.
Purusha.
Of human life.
Artha.
Of the goals.
Maya.
Comprising.
Phala.
Of the ultimate goal.
Atma.
The very self.
Yet.
For whom?
Vanchaya.
Out of desire.
Sumataya.
Intelligent persons.
Visrijanti.
Discard.
Pitsnam.
Everything.
Desham.
For them.
Vibho.
O Omnipotent One.
Samuchitaha.
Appropriate.
Bhavataha.
Your.
Samajaha.
Samasa.
Association.
Pumsaha.
Of a man.
Striya.
And a woman.
Cha.
And.
Ratayo.
Who are attracted to each other in mutual lust.
Sukhidukhino.
Who experience material happiness and distress.
Not. Translation. You are the embodiment of all human goals and are yourself the final aim of life. Desiring to obtain you, O all-powerful Lord, intelligent persons abandoning everything else. It is they who are worthy of your association, not men and women absorbed in the pleasure and grief resulting from their mutual lust. Yeah. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Keshava, you're going to read that one part. Here, Queen Rukmini refutes Lord Krishna's statement in text 15.
Yayoratma samam vittam janmaishwarya kritir bhava tayor vivaho maitricha notam madhamayok kvachit.
Which means, marriage and friendship are proper between two people who are equal in terms of their wealth, birth, influence, physical appearance, and capacity for good progeny, but never between a superior and an inferior. End of quote. In fact, only those who have given up all such material conceptions of sense gratification and have taken exclusively to the Lord's loving service can understand who their real friend and companion is, Lord Sri Krishna himself. Om Agyana Timurandasya Antinatyana Salakvaya Chaksumalitanyena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Suritopangor Mamamanda Matirgati Matsarvasva Patam Bojo Radha Madana Mohana. So here we are in the 10th canto, and hearing from Rukmini in a relationship with Krishna, the top, her primary queen. And since it's the 10th canto, it's already has all the prerequisites of the nine other cantos and the Bhagavad Gita. So here we're getting quite a privileged eavesdropping experience here by having an opportunity to hear Krishna and his primary queen having a little tiff, I guess. Krishna wanted to get her a little disturbed, and here we are, such an intimate exchange that we're being privileged to have by Srimad Bhagavatam's and the disciplic succession's mercy. So in thinking about that, I was noticing that our goal, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is for Paramahansa scripture, Nirmatsaranam Satam. It's for the Paramahansas. So the more that one has prema for Krishna, those are the persons we want to hear from. So here we're hearing from Rukmini. And what is she saying? So one of the things that she's saying, it's also, if you look at the word for words for a minute, it was interesting. We have a term, Pancha Purusartha, that there's generally, so here we have the Purush Artha, the goals of life. That for the human being, there's different goals of life. And so we've been taught growing up here in Krishna consciousness that generally there's Lord Chaitanya, he also preached Prema Pumartha Mohan, the Pumartha, the topmost desired artha. Artha sometimes also means wanted. What is wanted? So the topmost wanted thing is this prema. And Lord Chaitanya, he calls it the Pancha Purusartha, that there's generally these four goals: dharma, be a good person. And if you're a good person and you do everything, you'll be in the mode of goodness. And in the mode of goodness, you're prosperous. Like we understand, sacrifice will bestow upon you all desirable things. There'll reign general prosperity. So you'll have your dharma, artha. You'll have all those things that you want in this life. And then you'll be able to satisfy all of your desires, dharma, artha, kama. And then in the Vedic culture, they had at the last stage of life to become renounced and obtain liberation. But Lord Chaitanya said those are not the goals of life. Even when he had a conversation with the Tatmabodies, he asked them what is the goal of life, and they said going back to Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya didn't accept that either. Sounds good, right? Going back to Godhead. He said, no, the goal of life is prema, to have pure love for Krishna. So there's no desire for the living, for the soul, except to love Krishna. So that was the fifth goal of life. So here it mentions it a similar way. It says, you're the embodiment of all human goals and are yourself the final aim of life. So, of course, how can you have Krishna? You know, it says, are yourself the final aim of life. So it means to have this love for Krishna. Here we have Rukmini, practically speaking, who has more love for Krishna? Where is it the quality of love that Rukmini has for Krishna? So when you love someone, you see everything a particular way. Even in this world, it shifts the way you understand and see everything. So here, this is the perfection of seeing Rukmini talking. So certainly a Paramahansa, the topmost swan-like person, because in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was a nice verse, Krishna-tattva, bhakti-tattva, prema-tattva-sara, bhava-tattva, rasa-tattva, lila-tattva-ara. So, in that verse, it mentions that Krishna consciousness means understanding these six things, these six items in truth. So it means understanding Krishna in truth. So in understanding Krishna tattva, one understands how he's got the external energy and he's got the internal energy, and he can understand that. But how do you understand it? You understand it in bhakti. Bhakti mam abhijananti. It's only by understanding Krishna through bhakti that one can understand anything. So or understand Krishna specifically. And then in that context, prema is the goal. That's what we're all learning here. We're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, which will bring us to that stage of pure loving devotion, Savat Pumsapara Dharma, the Ahoitaki Apatiyata Atma Supersiyati, that's a prima occupation for all living entities by which one develops this pure love. So we're following Lord Chaitanya's instructions, Gora, Vani, Pacharne, Nivasesha, Sunyavadi, Pastachate, Satarni, by his beloved, our beloved spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So here we have Rukmini saying this. Now, another aspect of understanding Rukmini is how in Krishna consciousness we're understanding expansions. One personality has many aspects, and the different aspects of one personality expands into other personalities. I think we're understanding that, just like we know that Balaram is an expansion of Krishna. Same as Krishna, different color, but he does different things that Krishna doesn't necessarily do. Just like I remember, I don't know, I think I may have mentioned it before, that Prabhupada was asked, you know, those antagonistic questions, can Krishna make a mountain so heavy he can't lift it up? So Prabhupada, yeah, he can make a mountain so heavy he can't lift it up. But then he said, Balaram, you lift it up. Because Balaram, that's Krishna, but it's Balaram. He likes to show his strength, Bala. He likes to show his strength. So here we have Rukmini, and an expansion of how much Rukmini knows also is an expansion of Rukmini is Saraswati, the goddess of learning, has expanded. So who knows more than Rukmini? And she's in Leela with Krishna, which is the last one of that six items, which means it automatically has all the rasa tattva and all the bhava tattva. Everything's included in her statements that she's saying here. So she's giving us advice that while she's talking to Krishna. And of course, it says, desiring to obtain you, all-powerful Lord. So the word for word, all-powerful here, is translated as, O omnipotent one. Is that how you say it? Omnipotent? Omnipotent, all right. So generally we don't use that word so much in our general word. In the word for word it's there, but then it gets just translated as all-powerful Lord. And if we take a moment to think about that, it says a living entity thinks himself as the doer, but actually the activities are carried out by the modes of nature. So everything is under Krishna's control. That's a preliminary understanding of God, is that he's controlling everything. Everything is under his control. So in the materialist, they can't understand that. That's also the last part of the purport, the last part of the verse. But here, they can't understand how the living entity in his illusion condition, he thinks Krishna may be there, maybe he's a little bit more powerful than me, but he doesn't understand how every aspect, he's in a body which is subject to death. And not only is he subject to death, but even every one of his thoughts is controlled by the different natures. Every one of his attractions are being forced upon him. And like 3.5, it says that the living entity is forced to act helplessly by the modes of material nature that he's contacted by his rebellious attitude and being in the material energy. And gradually, even though the living entity is thinking how independent he is, he's forced to take another body. And from another perspective, all these bodies are not very good. There isn't any bodies that are good, any one of the material bodies. I mean, just to start off with, there's birth, which isn't pleasant. And then you're a little kid for a while. I don't know if most of you can remember back. Maybe she can remember since she's still experiencing. But you have little bodies, which they can't even control their bodily functions. That's pretty, rough. And then you go to school. Remember your first day at school? Terrified. Maybe not everybody. But then maybe you're not with the good crowd. You're with the other crowd, or the ones that are picked on, or you didn't do good on your test. So much anxiety in school. And then you get out of school. And then if you're a man, they wanted to put you in the army, have people try to kill you. But if you make it past that, then they want to put you in the 40-40. You know the 40-40? 40 years, 40 hours. That's the 40-40. That's your next thing to look forward to, is the 40-40. And then they say, well, it's probably even more nowadays, the way things are. More, they want you to work more. I think they're always moving Social Security up. It used to be, 62, then 66, and now it's 70. They'll give you something. But then in your old age, there goes your bodily functions again. They call it incontinent. And then other difficulties. And then you die. And then, of course, they have R.I.P., RIP, rest in peace. That's just an idea. In fact, most people, you can't even discuss it. One, for every hair on the animal, on the cow's body, it's a lot of rough stuff. Then you go to Yamaraj, and you're trained up. Not in another human form of life. I mean, especially if you live in Florida. I remember when taking care of my mother, she would say she's never saw so many different kinds of bugs. If you live up north, you have a couple bugs. But if you live in Florida, I think most of them come here for the winter and stay. There's all kinds of bugs that live here. And those are living entities that somehow or other thought they were going to enjoy this material world and ended up in a bug body. Where's your independence now? I can go after this crumb, or I can, what a condition, but the living entity. So the goal is to develop love of God and give up all this nonsense. Now, of course, besides the goddess of learning, Mother Saraswati, if you keep going down line, so to speak, expansion, you have Durga, who we were just talking about, who's in charge of the giving you different cells in the prison, the warden. And here in the verse it says, they who are worthy of your association. So they're talking about here, I skipped a line, desiring to obtain you, the all-powerful Lord. So I was talking about omnipotence. How does omnipotence, that when one sees that, I don't know if generally, I don't think materials, they say the word, but they don't see it. For a devotee, he can see it. He can see Krishna's omnipotence by how the modes of nature, if you look at something, I don't care what it is. If you look at it regularly for maybe a little while, you want to have it. It'll become nice to you. It's just amazing. If you contemplate any object of your senses, you'll develop an attachment and you'll think you can enjoy it. It's a mechanical system. All you have to do is not know it, and you're functioning. What do you think all the billboards are for? They get the guy driving to work, and he sees the nice new car every day driving to work with the picture there. And after a couple months, he thinks, well, I guess I should actually get that. And look, you can get it with no money down. I got a good interest plan. I can get a trade in. I think I'll give him a call. And it works. They don't put those billboards up because they don't work. They work. All you have to do is put it in front of somebody and let them see it day after day, and then they'll want it. That's just how it works. He's all powerful. And, of course, if you take it more through purification, your intelligence becomes clarified. You can understand that actually unless you desire to develop love for Krishna and serve Krishna, you're a type of criminal. This material world is compared to a prison. So who's in the prison is criminals. So we're here because there's something fundamentally wrong about what we're thinking about and doing with this material world, and we're under strict disciplinary punishment. Okay, and that's birth, death, old age, and disease, and we don't want to leave out the threefold miseries. They're constant companions. Either your own mind is driving you crazy with anxiety about something or other. I mean, that's a tough one to get away from. But I guess you could go to the pharmaceuticals, and they're always ready to say they have the perfect cure for you, except the small print and the fast talk at the end of the commercial. It may kill you, and you'll have extreme difficulties. But and that's Adi Atmik. Oh, then you have the Adi Bodhiks. Prabhupada mentions in Kali Yuga that you'll be taxed so much taxing will be going on. Of course, devotees don't always get so much taxes because they don't have any money. You make money, the government, as soon as you make money, everybody wants it. And the government, they know how to get it too. Adi Atmik, Adi Bodhik, and Adi Daivik. Everybody's wrapped up nice and warm this morning because it's freezing outside, but then we can't complain because we live in Florida. All you have to do is call anybody who lives up north, and they're buried in snow, and there are all kinds of difficulties. Did you just come from up north? There's so much Adi, and that's just the weather, not to mention the droughts and the earthquakes and the unseasonable weather. So that's the material world. So all-powerful. Okay, so that's part of the all-powerful. So intelligent persons. Now, intelligent means, what is that intelligence? Intelligence, Prabhupada defines as a power. It's a power that you have to be able to analyze something in the correct perspective. So Prabhupada, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna points out that he sets this up as a conduit to get information to you in the human form of life, this intelligence. He tells you how you can set it up, tune it in so it works. He says, you withdraw your senses from the sense objects, you fix it on me. He says, if you can do that, we can set up a link, an uplink, and he can give you information through your intelligence on what to do. Because this world, it's dark. Even though the sun may come up, it's still all darkness. And if you've ever gone into a room before you turn the light on, or maybe the electricity went off and you haven't found a candle, you have to really concentrate. Where is everything in the room? And then if somebody didn't put away the something or other, you could trip over it. You can't see what's actually in this world because it's not from sense perception that you see. It's through your intelligence that you see. You have to recognize what things are. Otherwise, you misidentify it. And then they give the example of a rope for a snake. That could be a problem. If you think that's a rope and you go to pick it up and it's a snake, you'll be very surprised. So intelligent persons, that's intelligence given by Krishna through the cyclic succession, so he understands what is matter, what is spirit, the controller of both. She's making a wonderful list here. And as I'm pointing out, this is all topmost Paramahansa information, 10th canto, because we're already supposed to have the prerequisites of these points that I'm making. So it says they abandon everything you could emphasize, if you like those ideas, thing as everyone, everything. Because in this world, this is a world of things, objects. They're not really in complete view, a complete understanding. They're not things. There's personalities behind the things. In a virtual world where there's robots, sometimes they used to have robot wars, and it has two robots hitting each other. But the person who's controlling the robots is someplace else. So these bodies are not really us. That's been explained in many, many different ways. It's a virtual experience for the soul. He gives his consciousness, or he's forced, because lack of training and maybe if or offenses to chanting the holy name, he's identifying with the body. So he says they abandon, intelligent persons abandon. That means they give up. They give up these other things to do. Because we're by nature jivera supoi krishnera nitya das. We're always serving. We can't stop serving ever. There's never a time when we're not serving. We always serve something or someone. You just can't stop. If you think about it, like even anger, like this emotion, I'm angry. You're serving anger. And then one of the natures of serving is you're making more of it. You make more of it. You're bringing it into manifestation. Okay, here's how an example that maybe I'll make some sense. There's right in this room here, there's radio waves. Okay, so there's how many different frequencies they're being broadcast in. They're all coming from different places. So when you have a radio, you tune the radio to a particular frequency. It picks up the frequency and then magnifies it into manifestation. It was always there. It's in the room, but it's unmanifest. So according to the radio that when I was growing up, back in a long time ago, they had these kits called Heath kits. And if you were kind of a techie kind of guy back then, you would build these little radios. You would build it yourself. You'd get a little box of parts with instructions. And one of the things that it was in there was a crystal. Nowadays, the hippies have them and different things. There's crystal energies. So crystals are sensitive. They pick up frequencies. So they would tune this crystal by shaping it, and it would pick up a frequency, and then you'd hook up the different gizmos, and you could hear it. Not so loud. You'd usually have an earpiece like the one that they have here. So these radios, those are the same things. They just replace the crystals with other kinds of gizmos like transistors and things like that, which are pretty far out how all that subtle stuff works. Even though it's gross, it's still... So the living entity, he, in his heart, he tunes his receiver to pick up a frequency that Krishna is sending out. Krishna is broadcasting all the different frequencies and the modes of nature. That's another, like AM, FM. So you got internal potency frequencies and external potency frequencies. So if you're on the external potency frequency, your heart picks up this frequency, and then when you speak, you're broadcasting it. You're the little amplifier. It's there. No one can pick it up, but you tune your heart a particular way, and you pick up the frequency from Krishna, and then you manifest it. So let's say you're angry. you're making more of it. You broadcast it, and then if someone else hears it, they also, there's a contagious aspect. That's probably a better word for it. But other people can pick up on it, and then they serve it. You ever have somebody angry come up to you? It's not hard to get you to start serving angry too. And then you're making more of that in the world. So you're bringing into manifestation all these different qualities. You can't stop doing it. So in Krishna consciousness, we want to tune in the internal potency and make more of that. And we have Srila Prabhupada, very contagious. He broadcast in such a way that it infected other people to start also serving Krishna. So look how much more Krishna Prabhupada brought into the world. He brought into the world how many deities are in the world that brought Prabhupada and people serving Krishna, serving the holy name. So he has that ability that we're adjusting the crystal of our heart to pick up the other frequencies so we can serve better. So that's the intelligent persons. We're using our intelligence. That's what's tuning our heart to the proper frequency so we can serve it and make more of it in this world. And we can see how Prabhupada's making more Vaishnavas, more people that are dedicating their lives. And they abandon everything else because what else is there? When you really think about it, it's, let's say, if you're starving and someone gives you some old bread, it's kind of crusty. It's not even any butter on it. It's just an old stale piece of bread. But if you haven't eaten anything, let's say you're lost in the woods someplace and you come across an old cabin and you find some shelter there and you find an old loaf of bread, how good that would taste. It would be wonderful because you're starving. But now, in the next moment, the camera crew comes in and says, it was all just set up here. Now you go back and you're in the middle of the city and there's all these fancy restaurants and you got a free credit card for going through the experiment. If you saw that crusty bread again, there'd be no interest in it at all. Oh, that's that crusty bread. You'd be eating something else. So it was relative to the degree of starvation that you're in. So they abandon everything else because the param drisa devardante, the embodied being, may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste remains, but experiencing a higher taste, he gives up the lower taste. So it's so important. So this taste, that's a whole subject in itself. In Krishna consciousness, we cultivate taste for Krishna. That's what we're cultivating with our intelligence. And in a practical way, practical terms, it's been put in different ways. This bhakti lata bija, the bija, this is taste for serving Krishna, serving the internal potency. The shastric reference for that is 3rd canto, chapter 2, text 6. In the purport, Prabhupada points out how the bhakti lata bija is taste. So as soon as you have something practical to work with like that, it's not so abstract philosophically. You can see if you make an offense to the devotees, what will happen to your taste, which was adoshradha sarusanga, bhajanakriya, anartha nivritti. You drop all the way back to maybe shraddha, or you can lose that too. So where's the taste going to come? What happens to your taste, it's directly connected about making the offenses. So you can see very practically, and sometimes I used to joke about it with different temple authorities. I will talk about with Keshava sometimes. You see somebody, all of a sudden they start saying all these things that are wrong. They're just from one thing to another thing to another thing. So I went up to a devotee that was doing that a couple of years ago, and I said, do you have your ticket? And he says, what do you mean? I said, oh, never mind. So I saw him 2 weeks later, and he says, I got my ticket. He was leaving. You can't stay. You know, we're here, we're protected by our taste. And so it makes it very practical to be able to make a connection. And you can see it in yourself, because we make little offenses kind of regularly. Those are the big 10 or 11 or so. But we make little ones in our mind, and we can see how it's going to affect coming to the temple, how it affects associating with devotees, how it affects chanting our rounds, how it affects hearing and chanting and reading more shastra, memorizing the verses, wanting to expand, getting more service. It'll hit a different plane. So that's very practical. I was trained as a technician, so I always had to have everything practical. How does that, what's it look like? What's the symptom going to be? What's the effect going to be, so you can get to the cause? So here it says, they abandon everything else. It is they who are worthy of your association. So worthy, that means we're doing something that Krishna will become attracted to us. And specifically, if you listen to the instructions of his wife, his principal wife, who's also knows what she's talking about because she's Saraswati, and down line she's even Durga. So here's what happens for the other group. It says, not. So here's the other side of the personality being just seen a little bit. But it gets heavy when you bring out that personality by itself from root meaning. Not men and women absorbed in the pleasure and grief resulting from their mutual lust. So, of course, this happiness and distress, we recognize the word. It's sukha-dukkha. We all know sukha-dukkha from practically the first instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, Martha Sparsis. If you're in this material world and your spirit soul, you're going to have to tolerate a lot of stuff. You have to tolerate happiness and distress, because if you don't tolerate happiness and distress, if you don't, then you're going to be in the mode of passion, trying to maximize happiness, minimizing distress, even though we do that. But in the mode of goodness, you have duty, so you're not obligated to, or you're free from having to be influenced so strongly by happiness and distress. You do things by duty. And if you do your duty, then you become free from the harassment of the mind in happiness and distress in the mode of passion, which is characterized by association between men and women, which was covered in different ways, and which was actually here in this verse 2 is talking about marriage. Here's a hot topic. All right. There's, but basically, that's a symptom of the mode of passion with some goodness. The passion brings two people together generally, and that's whimsical. That will never, well, generally speaking, that is not a stable platform, attraction. So you take it to the church, the synagogue, the temple, the mosque, and you have a marriage ceremony, which is consecrating, taking that mode of passion into the mode of goodness. Now, in the mode of goodness, then before you sign the contract, they give you the details, which you don't understand. It says, in happiness and distress. Now, we just mentioned sukha-dukkha. Here's happiness and distress. You're going to get that. They say, why do they mention happiness? Why do they even mention it? He said, why can they just say when there's distress? How, if someone says, okay, I'm happy, everything's going good, we're really healthy, that's it, I'm out of here. But they mention it just to give you the duality. Happiness, distress, richer or poorer, in sickness or health. So they put the duality there, so you're starting, because who understands what duty and goodness is? These are the mystic understanding in Kali Yuga, the myth, mode of goodness. So they come, going to try to stop. All right. So that was Rukmini. She was talking about this. And, of course, it mentioned it was resulting from their mutual lust. It didn't say because of the duty that they're undergoing, because sacrifice, it's mentioned that marriage is a sacrifice. So it consecrates the mode of passion into the mode of goodness by sacrifice. And it said, be happy by the sacrifice, not happy by the mutual lust. So there's a lot that can be said in each one of these points. And whenever the lust manifests, that's usually, it's going to mess things up again. Because it manifests to some degree, because that's the mode of passion is always competing with the mode of goodness. And in the previous times, the mode of goodness was stronger than it is now. It's really under attack, the mode of goodness. The only time people are steady in the mode of goodness is when they're doing passion and ignorance. That's their only steadiness they got. In other words, if they want to make money for sense gratification, they'll be very responsible, generally, to go to work. So when you get the resume to apply for a job, they want to see how much goodness this person has. Will he be a good worker? Or he's a whimsical worker. He comes when he wants. He leaves when he wants. He's not regulated. They don't want him. Everybody wants this goodness and ultimately the pure goodness. So I'm going to stop there if I can. Take any questions or comments. Oh, there's one over on the other side. You always have to wait now. You know.
Thank you, Prabhu. You cited that purport wherein Srila Prabhupada states that the seed of devotional service is taste. And then Prabhupada continues to say, so if one is fortunate enough to get that seed, he should sow it in the core of his heart. What does that mean, sow it? I assumed that when one gets the seed, it's the spiritual master sowing it in the core of your heart.
There's other things in the heart right now. Do you know what those are? Oh, yeah, there's a lot of other lower tastes that are in the heart. So the heart, that's one of those difficult, we use the word a lot, but it's a little tricky to try to pin down what it is. So a lot of times we just say, that's what's dear to you. That's what's very dear to you. So in the beginning of the mode of goodness, do you know what the taste is in the beginning of the mode of goodness? Poison, and then it turns into nectar. Where in the mode of passion, it's like the three little pigs. It's he just makes a straw hut and then goes back to play. Very little time does he want to spend in goodness. You know, so we have to we sow it in the heart by our intelligence that. We have the taste, but it says you have to protect that taste. That's one of the very first things. You have to build a fence to guard against the different... well, there's the mad elephants. I don't know what kind of fence you got to keep out your mad elephants. But that's an association. You have to associate. So Prabhupada, he sets up the society so we have association. If you associate with the non-devotees... then the elephant is set loose. They won't agree with what you're saying. They're going to put doubt on everything. They can't understand. It's not possible. And they're not even supposed to be told, you know, for in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, it's not to be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or envious. And in 15 or 11... it says that they can't even understand, even if they try to understand, because their minds aren't developed through the goodness of regulation, of sacrifice. The capacity is not there. Is that all right?
Cherishing it, protecting it, and protecting it by remaining in association of devotees.
Yeah, and then, of course, the first thing is recognizing the threshold of recognition. If you just think about it for a moment, you can get a type of appreciation that almost knocks you off your feet, that how it is in Kali Yuga, we're so far removed from Vedic culture, from having practically anything good qualities. We're always misdirected by our senses and our mind. Our association is bad. We don't have good as practically anything. And yet, we have a sadhana, like no sadhana ever before, that's targeted right at Radha and Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. The mercy that we got one time was greeting the deity. So I was saying to Prabhupada, thank you for the mercy that you're giving me. And he says, well, I just received it from the ocean of mercy, the benediction from the ocean of mercy. So, thank you, Bhakti Siddhanta. So I said, it's your mercy. Then he said, well, what about the six Goswamis? So I'm in the six Goswamis. Well, where's Lord Nityananda? So thank you, Lord Nityananda. So then, well, I came with Lord Chaitanya. Oh, thank you, Lord Chaitanya. It's your mercy that makes this all possible. And then he says, I'm just in the mood of Radharani. All right. So where this string of mercy, I call it the extraction team, that is required to get us out of this world, to extract us out of this world. These are all-star, and the association probably says, we came to America. Who did he bring with him? He brought all the best consciousness that ever existed and will always exist to us, and he gave it to us for free. Just chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, and then dance in ecstasy. So if you get into the mood of appreciation, I found that as far as a seed goes, that's the cleanest seed in the cleanest garden. Weeds can't even grow around appreciation. It has such a radiance. So through appreciation, one can experience Krishna's presence. Krishna's presence. And then it's a pun, because if you're trying to write it, you don't know which way to spell presence. So such a gift to be with Krishna and chanting his holy name. And we're almost out of time, so yeah.
There's a question that I've come. Can you explain actually how this taste, how it works? Where does it come from? How does it...
That's such a wonderful question. Now, to get an answer for that, that's another thing. But the question is very nice. It's the nature of the soul is sat, chit, and what's that other one? Ananda. Now, yeah. So it talks about there's five types of Brahman realization. There's anamoya, jnanamoya, pranamoya, jnanamoya, vijnanamoya, and anandamoya. So this anandamoya, this is Krishna. He's anandamoya. So what are you looking for? Anandamoya biasat. We're always looking for that ananda. So if you touch fire, you know what you'll feel? What will you feel if you touch fire? Hot. How about if you touch ice, what will you feel? Cold. Krishna is satchit ananda. If you touch Krishna, what do you feel? Satchit ananda. Now, that feeling, that connecting with Krishna, to feel satchit ananda, that's bhakti. So when you're feeling satchit ananda, is that Krishna or is that you? It's Krishna, but you're feeling it. So it's your feeling, right? Now, it just so happens that that feeling, that's you, is what the soul is made up of, sat, chit, ananda. But you only feel your soul, self-realization, when you're in contact with Krishna, sat, chit, ananda. Then you feel Krishna. And what does Radharani say? She says, and the happiness she experiences, the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of her of his love. That's one of the reasons Lord Chaitanya, Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, to experience the happiness she feels anubhava, when she realizes that the word for realizes is anubhava, the sweetness of his love. So where does that sweetness come from? It comes from Krishna, and it comes from your connecting with Krishna through bhakti. And in the beginning, well, actually all along, but Srila Prabhupada gives you that seed. He's the external manifestation of servitor Godhead. Do you know which deity he represents? The initiating spiritual master? There's a name for it. What is it? Mother Madhavati? You had that? Sambandha, yeah. So what's the name of the deity? Oh, that's it. So, but it's not Madan Mohan by himself. Radha Madan Mohan. So isn't it? That's the verse. Jayatam Suryato Pangor Mamama. It's Adi 1:15. Is the verse. So I'm lame, ill-advised, but they're my directors. And their lotus feet, Radha Madan Mohan's lotus feet, are everything to me. So in learning that verse, you know, it's the hardest word to say in that whole verse is mat. M-A-T, a little three-letter word. They are my everything. So that's the verse that we said that in today's verse. He says they're everything. Krishna is everything for a devotee. Okay. Jai. All glories of Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.